Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. I'm Sam Bowman. Early in the morning of September 30th of last year, two Portland police officers shot and killed 27-year-old Patrick Kimmons in downtown Portland. In the months since, his death and life have become symbolic for advocates and activists who seek some sort of change to the way police operate in Portland. The killing is another in a line of black people shot by Portland police, and it renewed public scrutiny of the Bureau's racist history, as well as its more general use of deadly force against civilians. But Kimmons' death also has meaning for the Portland Police Bureau and the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office themselves. Officer Jeffrey Livingston and Sergeant Gary Britt were found, almost 2 months after the shooting, to have acted within policy when they killed Kimmons. A grand jury declined to indict them after 2 days of testimony curated by the DA's office. The official story paints a picture of brave officers doing their best in a chaotic and dangerous situation, with Kimmons fleeing towards them after having allegedly shot and wounded two people. The officers were found justified because, according to the DA and the Bureau's own internal investigators, they acted in accordance with their training on the use of deadly force in crisis situations. If the officers are justified, that assumes that the Bureau's policies are justified to begin with. That assumption is where much of the anger around police killings comes from. The anger of people who have their own, non-lethal ways of dealing with crisis situations. The anger of people who wonder why, when it comes to split-second gut decisions, the law elevates police officers over the rest of us. The anger of people who hear the voice of law tell them that they have no say in the process of determining whether or not their loved one deserved to be killed. 3.5 months after Patrick Kimmons was shot, I was able to speak with his mother, Letha Winston, over the phone for KBOO. Since that night, she has led multiple regular protests on Wednesday mornings against the city of Portland and its police bureau, calling for justice for her son and honest change in the way the police themselves are policed. She began by telling the story as she knows it.
So on September 30th of 2018, my son Patrick Tyrone Kimmons was murdered, overkill murder by Jeffrey Livingston and Sergeant Britt, Portland Police, Multnomah County officer. Patrick was shot 9 times from behind. He was running towards the police with no weapon in his hand, hands was up. He noticed he seen the police, so he ran away from the police. The police waited for Patrick to turn his back to run. Once Patrick turned in between the cars to run, the police then shot my son 9 times. Not only did they shoot him 9 times, but they shot him about 6 times. And then when he collapsed on the ground and fell, they then began to shoot again after he had already collapsed. It's been real, I've been real traumatized. I wake up at 6:30, 7 a.m. crying. All I can see is the video of him being shot that many times and collapsing to the ground. Reading the autopsy and reading the paperwork of where he was shot at has been devastating. And my life will never be the same. My kids' life will never be the same. Neither will his kids' life ever be the same. And to top it off, it was justified. So these officers are at home enjoying their New Year's, their Christmas, enjoying 2019 with their loved ones. But my grandkids are suffering and traumatized, having to watch this video on all the news stations of their father being murdered. And I think it's unfair. And I continue to rally every Wednesday until some type of justice is done with the police system.
What sort of support have you received from the community around you since then? Friends, family, activists?
Family is always a support. We have a small family in my household. That's me and my 5 kids, my mother. My mother lives by herself, but my family is always supportive. His friends and his best friends are always supportive.
How did you find out on the 30th about what had happened?
I was laying in the bed, I think, don't quote me because it might not be the exact time, but around 2:30, 3 o'clock a.m., I got a phone call from his wife saying that she had just got a phone call saying Patrick was shot by the police. So then she got another phone call saying they don't think he made it. So when I got the phone call, I immediately jumped up out of bed and started hospitals because no hospital wouldn't give up no information. My son was dead. My son was dead at the scene. They tried to tell me he wasn't dead. He died at OHSU. I'm not gonna believe that. My son was dead at the scene because I sat in that hospital for more than 2 hours before they would even let me go back there and see my son. He was already dead. He was dead when he collapsed on the ground. He was dead.
Okay.
Not only that, but the Portland police is a cover up. I seen that video. Me and my family sat in that DA's office, seen that video clear as day. I got up and walked out because once I sat down and seen what I wanted to see, which is my son didn't have a gun in his hand, running towards the police, and his hands was up. When he turned around and must have seen the police, they must have said, put your hands up, because my son's hands was up the whole time he was running toward them. And then he turned to go towards the car, and that's when the police shot him. Well, on the video that we seen, and the family seen the video before it was even released to the media or the press, his hands was up. But the video that they got on the media, his hands ain't up. So they have tampered with evidence, which they're tampering with the video. They have tampered with the video.
You said you saw that in the offices of the district attorney?
Yes. I seen it first before it was released to anybody.
And was that before or after the officers were found justified by the DA?
That was when they was justified.
And you've mentioned that several different aspects of the official story, that his hand, the placement of his hands and where he was running, that you have issue with. Are there other aspects of the official story that you find false?
Well, the police, in his documentation, Jeffrey is stating that Patrick, he seen a red muzzle pointing at him. That's why he shot Patrick. Then it went on to say, oh, well, I made a mistake. I didn't see. I was just feared for my life, so I thought I seen him pointing the gun at me. But first, he started off with, the reason why I shot Mr. Timmons is because he was pointing the gun, running towards me with the gun in his hand. Then at the end, he stated, you know, when the video was released, he wanted to change up and say, well, I feared for my life. I think that's why I might have thought I seen the gun at that time.
I remember reading after the event a statement from a former commander, Kevin Modica, who was very upset by the shooting and seemed to have known Patrick from before.
Are you talking about GT, Game Task Force?
Yeah.
That spoke at a meeting that they had for Patrick?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. They know my family for a long time, and they know the truth. They know my son would have never, ever. My son is too brilliant. One thing we know for sure, and two for certain, is that he had never run toward the police with a gun in his hand. And that police knew. That's why he took a stand. He knew. He knew. All of them knew. All the Northeast area, all of Portland area knew that Patrick is not cut like that. That man that shot them two police officers that killed my baby was using full force. They action was to murder him, because you didn't have to shoot him like that. You shot him 9 times. That's enough to knock a mule down. That's a 27-year-old kid paralyzed in the left foot That's enough to knock a mule down. When you came for Patrick, you knew you they singled my son out. How is it going to be 100 kids in the parking lot and they dispersed? And because if Patrick Timmons run your way, you shoot at him.
You've mentioned to me that in our correspondence before this, that you are not pleased with some of the way that the media has represented this story.
The media is, they will never get a conversation from me. Channel 12 will never, ever in my life, I don't care if the helicopter crashed into whatever, they will never get a real idea of anything from anybody that got anything to do with me. They are disgusting. They took the story that we said and twisted and flipped it the way they wanted to flip it. And they wonder why people don't never want to step up and say nothing or talk about nothing. Because if the police flips it around or the news flips it around, and it don't be nothing you said. They take your story and erase stuff and put it the way they want to put it. And I think that's very unfair.
How did they do that in this case?
Channel 12 got on there and said, oh, Patrick had a good first. They had the first show. Oh, Patrick was running toward the officers with a gun. That's not true. That's before the video got released. They was Channel 12 and was making all up type of lies. The only media kept it real was Channel 2. Channel 12 came up with about 15 different lies, and they didn't even see the video wasn't even out yet. Mr. Kimmons was running towards the police with a gun. Mr. Kimmons was never running towards the police with a gun. And if anybody in their right state of mind watched the video, how could you not see that he was, that officer backed up when Mr. Kimmon was running towards him? If you felt like my baby was a threat, you would have shot him when he was running towards you. Nope, you backed up and waited for Mr. Kimmon to make that left turn in between them two cars, and you gunned my baby down. And you then you had the nerve to say it was justified because you fear for your life.
Do you think the media could do anything better in reporting stories like this, or your story in particular?
When it's a death or something, the police is happening. When it's a death and you talking to the media and they want you to talk to them, they ought to play your story that you telling them about your loved one the way it's supposed to be told. Do not edit and take nothing out and then at the end say, oh, well, he was this or he was that. Because you don't know what that child was. You don't know. That's not your child. They need to tell it the way the family says it was.
Speaking of, like, who Patrick was, what comes into your mind first thing when you think of him?
My baby was the root of my seed, of my household. Okay? Never was a disrespectful child, no matter if I was wrong or right. He would just say, all right, Mom, I'm leaving. That's it. No argument, no nothing. He always had a conversation. You know, when he did get pulled over or just got pulled over for no license plates in the back of the window, or it could be anything he got pulled over for. If he did get pulled over, he was always, he never gave the police a problem. You can search my car. You can do whatever you want to do. And they say, have a nice day, Mr. Kimmon. That's it. My baby was a good child. He worked. He went to PCC, took up his welding degree. He did all that. And GT, which is Gang Task Force, they know Patrick was going to PCC. They know my son was a good son. That's why he got up and said his speech. And they was hurt just like we was.
And I wanted to ask you about the community response that you've seen so far. I know you said you do the rallies every Wednesday. How would you say?
Man, yeah. I've been doing these rallies every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Do you know that we got the worst, what is that building called down there? The mayor's office.
Oh, the city hall.
The city hall is the worstest building I've ever been into in my life. They have been so disrespectful towards me and my family and my protesters. We had a rally last Wednesday. Me and my people are peacefully. All I'm doing on the loudspeaker is saying, I want justice for my son, and I want answers for my son. I want justice, and then my justice is for Ted Wheeler and the chief outlaw to retrain their officers not to shoot to kill. They're shooting to kill. You can shoot somebody in the leg. You can tase them. You can rub a bullet. Why shoot them straight in the chest or the head? You killing them. Shoot them in the leg. That'll take them right down. That, you know, when we was protesting, that the head security, black lady, she came out of that building and got in my face and threatening me something vicious and told me I need to shut my mouth and I don't have the right to talk on my speaker. And I told her that she was violating my space because her nose was almost touching my nose. That's too close. I said, you are very disrespectful. You need to get out of my face because I will not have you coming from out of your building rushing me in my face. That is a threat. You don't get in my face like that. You don't tell me to shut my mouth either. I'm a grown woman. If your son was murdered, you would be out here doing the same thing I'm doing. I'm not leaving this property. I can sit on this sidewalk and yell and scream about getting justice for my baby until you guys do you guys' job and retrain your officers and get them to wear body cams. Until that's done, I'm going to continue to rally for justice because I need to be heard.
So there's a rally plan for this coming Wednesday, I'm guessing?
Every Wednesday, we start at Multnomah County Courthouse, 10 a.m. We march to the mayor's office. We end it between 1:30 and 2 p.m.
Letha, is there anything that you would like to add that I didn't ask about?
Yeah. You know, when my son was murdered, Chief Outlaw never gave me a phone call. I never got a call to come and identify my son's body. They knew who he was. His ID was in his pocket, all that. They never called, rushed out, came and knocked on my door, none of that. She wouldn't reach out the next 2 or 3 days. I still haven't heard from her at all. Sitting here saying to myself, what type of chief of police have they got on the force? And she's on the news every other day saying her officers had to do what they had to do. No, your officers don't have to do what they got to do if they shooting a child from behind. He is no longer a threat. It's time to stop saying that. It can't be justified when somebody is being murdered like that from behind. That's not just, if a person don't have a gun in their hand and is shooting at you direct, and they got their back turned. Why would you kill them? Why would you kill them? Can't even sleep at night. Why would you kill them? I'm so angry. You guys just, nobody would never understand the pain of losing a child. That was my baby. Nobody would ever understand it. I'm sick. I wake up in the middle of the night every hour, sick to my stomach. Oh, see my grandkids. It's hard for me to be around them because I don't want to break down in front of them. My 2-year-old grandchild is going through it right now. He doesn't know what's going on. He's looking for his father and, you know, not realizing he won't be back.
Wow.
That's a cold feeling. That's a cold feeling. And this police officer owed me some answers. I got some questions for him. What was going through your brain when you murdered my son? You intentionally murdered my son. You knew what you was doing. It took 2 officers to gun my son down. Not just 1 officer shot. Both of them did. Both of their bullets was in my son's body. And he had no gun. I don't understand it. Both of y'all shot at a person with no gun running towards y'all. But yet y'all say, oh, y'all found a revolver within his range. You know, they got so many lies going on. And then to put the icing on the cake and sum it up and shut it down. The man, all of my son witnesses that was going up in there all the witnesses that was there to go witness, be a witness for my son, they got on the stand for 3 seconds and said, oh, we don't need you. They didn't even want to hear it. They took him down less than 5 seconds.
You mean at the grand jury hearing?
At the grand jury hearing. They didn't want to hear it. They took them people down. They didn't even let them talk. They didn't even let them talk. That's how you know that the system is messed up. The system is messed up. All they wanted to hear was their side of the story. If it wasn't about the Portland police, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it.
You said that Outlaw has never reached out to you, but have you heard from anyone else in the Bureau?
Oh, you know, I was standing on my porch about 2 weeks ago, and I noticed the police was over in the parking lot across the street from where I live at, messing with some teenage kids. And I had just let my daughter walk to the store, so it kind of frightened me because I thought that was my daughter. So I walked halfway, and I looked, and I was like, that ain't my daughter. And I said, well, maybe I should stand here and watch y'all, because they ain't no telling what y'all finna try to do to these little kids. So it happened to be Julio, which is the head force guy on the GT team. He comes over, walking towards my house. I said, I know you guys are not finna come over here to my house after you killed my son. He said, can I talk to you? I said, no, you cannot talk to me. There's nothing you have, absolutely nothing you have to say to me. You guys killed my son. Why would I talk to you? And then I told him, do not come on my property. I own my house, and my house is private property. Do not step your feet no more on my property. And I mean that. And he said, he tried to get me to come out to the street. I said, I'm not coming out to the street to talk to you. Matter of fact, I have nothing to say to you. You have a good night. He kept on talking loud, saying, come out here. Come out and talk to me. I'm not the one that murdered your son. I know your son. I wouldn't have did him like that. I said, I don't care to hear about it. You part of the solution. And I walked in the house and shut my door.
Letha, do you see anything good happening around this issue? Do you see any changes?
I haven't seen no changes, period. And that's why I said, and I'm going to say it again, I'm going to continue to march until I see some changes. They can say whatever they want to say, but I'm going to continue to march until I see some changes. I got on social media today and noticed that the new commissioner, Joanne, had made a statement about protesters yelling and screaming outside, that it was rude and disrespectful. Well, I don't never come up there cussing and being disrespectful unless they come out being disrespectful to me. I think that that's not right. I don't think that's okay. I think protesters have the right like any other human being. It's amendments. You violate our amendments, right? If you try to tell us we can't stand out here and yell for justice. I didn't like that. I think that's very unprofessional. And I don't know the lady from a can of paint. And I salute to her for being up in the office, because I hope she can make a change. I think she can make a change, but I just didn't like the comments. And I got the right to not like what I don't like.
Fair enough. So, again, Letha, is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, that's it.
All right. I want to thank you so much again for talking with me today.
You're welcome.
For KBOO Evening News in Portland, I'm Sam Bowman. I've been speaking with Letha Winston, the mother of Patrick Kimmons, who was killed by Portland police on September 30th last year, 2018.